Hello all, thanks very much for joining me. This is the One Was Had a Dream podcast, the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast. We are the Sunday Debrief. My name is Lee Finch. I'll be hosting tonight. We're going to be discussing everything that happened yesterday against Stockport. We'll be discussing, has the old habits creeped in? More drop points from winning positions. We'll be discussing tactics, the subs, and everything else in between. If you know what to do, you know the rules by now. If you want to speak, you've got something to say regarding the game yesterday or anything else regarding Wimbledon, press that speak button, come on and debate fellow Wimbledon fans. We're the only platform to give fans a voice. So use that voice, come on and have your say. If you don't want to have a say, if you're too shy or you still want to get involved, then put something in the comments. I'll go through the comments best we can. All right, if I sound a bit out of breath, it's because I was running around trying to get it sorted before going live. Anyone with young kids will understand. Little one was put to bed, and then about 5 minutes later, he's screaming the house down. So Mrs. has sorted him out, so that means I'm in the doghouse with her now. But we carry on because we are a professional outfit. So yeah, yesterday, so we lost 2-1 to Stockport. I've seen some people have thrown their toys at the pram regarding the result and stuff. Obviously, it's very disappointing to lose, especially when you're 1-0 up. Stockport had quite a few players missing themselves yesterday. But I think we've got to be mindful that we had four of our best players currently this season in Lewis, Reeves, Little and Ali missing. So a bit of a makeshift team. I hate to say it, but some of our best players this season, for me, had a bit of a bad game yesterday. So people like Tilly, I didn't think was 100% on it. Johnson struggled in the second half. If that's going to happen in games sometimes, some of your best players, one or two not turning up. But when you're missing four of your best and then four others didn't really play that well, it's going to happen. And Stockport were a decent outfit. I think I've seen Sam Elliott wrote a post earlier regarding they're missing two of their strikers. And then we're able to bring on Louis Barry, the geezer from Villa, who was on loan at Scum last year. Do you know what I mean? So that's a decent squad. For me, players who struggled, I thought Pierce struggled a bit, especially in the heat. I thought Pell struggled again. He's definitely, for me, not a number 10. Should be nowhere near playing that role. But then on the positive side for me, I thought Ethan Sutcliffe, when he came on, was quality. His little run that he did, very assured on the ball, won his headers, got involved, really like that. And I thought he was brilliant. I thought Sasu done really well as well when he came on. And I thought he done well. And hello, is it Mick? Are you there? Because you left a minute ago and then you come back. So I was just about to introduce you, and then you left.
It's gone really quiet now as well for me. I'm just useless with technology, mate. But how are you doing anyway? You're all right?
I'm very well, Mick. I was really hoping that you were going to come on tonight because I did want to speak to you. Obviously, love you to bits. Scores on the doors. I've got to say, yesterday, your scores were wild.
You think about a nightmare yesterday, I know, don't you?
Some of them were very high in particular with, I didn't think Davison had a good game at all. I didn't think Bugle played well when he came on.
I think I probably got more, and everyone. It was a more controversial, the most controversial set of ratings I've ever done, actually, Lee. I mean, the number of people who came in the pub last night and made a beeline for me and said, listen, I've got to talk to you about that, mate. I mean, Jesus Christ. And I did actually, I think it's fair to say I sense amongst the punters, a bit of a change of mood from yesterday. I think a lot of people saying to me that it feels like last season, and we're making the same mistakes again. Incidentally, I don't necessarily buy into that. I think it feels very different to last season. But I think we've got to be a little bit careful now because one or two of the natives are getting restless. I think it's fair to say, Lee.
I don't see why. I was disappointed yesterday. Obviously, Newport disappointed get with the results, but with the team before, I left the game yesterday still quite happy with the football that was put on show. I thought both teams in the heat as well. I think people forget how I struggled walking to the ground, and it was only Collierswood to the stadium, and I struggled walking, let alone playing 90 minutes. As I said, I think my boy noticed Pierce was literally struggling after about 25 minutes in the heat yesterday.
He was knackered after warm-up, Lee. Yeah, I mean, and in fairness, I'm agreeing with you. We're not built to play football in that, and we're not built to watch football in that. And I thought the fact that Stockport would, we're always going to keep the ball better than us, and we're always going to have a lot of possession. I think towards the end, that kind of that was a factor. But the reason I think it's different to last year, I know we give a lead up, but I thought last 15 minutes we pushed a bit. I mean, if Tilly's one goes the other side of the post in a dying seconds, then we walk away with a 2-2, and we say it was all right. I just think going forward, I keep banging on about this. We've got to win games. I mean, as it is, we played seven, we've won 2 out of 7. I mean, all right, we've drawn 4. So we haven't got beat very often. But the teams that do well in the league win. And so when it's one apiece with 10, 15 minutes to go, we've got to go ahead and win the game and at least try and win. Because, you know, if we say, for example, we draw against Crewe on next week, we'll be 11 points after 8 games. And I don't really think, in all honesty, I don't think that's a fair reflection on how well we've played. I think we've been better than that. And you know, if we get beat, we're 10 points after 8 games, and we're probably going to, I mean, someone said to me yesterday, yeah, but at least we're in 11th, and we are, but we're joint with the team that's in 15th. They've got the same points as us. And I think we've been better than that, in all honesty. I don't think that's probably a fair reflection on how well we've played.
I agree with what you're saying there. I think that's correct. The problem I had yesterday with looking at the results after was that teams like Forest Green got smashed, Newport got smashed, Sutton are getting smashed every week, and people were like, yes, we beat Sutton, that's a big monkey off our back, but they're losing every week now. And it's like, well, we went 2-0 up against Newport, we couldn't put them away, and then we let them back in the game with 2 mistakes. Yesterday, Stockport had two chances on goal, they scored both of them. We had 1 chance the whole game at home. I think the subs, we'll come on to the subs later, but I think Sasu and people like that need to be starting games. I don't know where you put them in, but for me, Pell just don't do it. Mike, I'm going to go to George, because loads of people are asking to speak. There's loads of comments. So, George, what did you want to say? Then I'll come to Kevin after.
I just think
we've got Jonathan and
we need to keep a level head. I think after, 7 games now, whatever, we would have taken where we are. We put in some good performances. On the whole, we've looked solid. I just think people need to get a bit of perspective. Like, you've got people throwing toys at a pram saying it's exactly the same as last year. It's not. We've lost to a really good side in Stockport who I put a lot of money on it that they'd be up and around there. If they're not in the top 7, I'd be very surprised. They were the best team I think we've played this year. And I know people say, yeah, well, it's the only team we've lost to. The way they moved the ball and the way they actually played was really well. And it just didn't... We missed key players in the wrong game, essentially. If you look, Lewis obviously could never play, but Pierce was just not, he's not used to playing against a Barry type striker who's quick nippy and just dragging him to positions. Just everything didn't line up for us yesterday. And it's okay to lose games. Like, you're not the Orient last year, they lost games. So they lost to us, didn't they? 2-0 away from home. So I think we need to have some perspective and say, look, okay, we've had a solid start. We'd all have taken this in. Whenever it was, at August the 5th, we'd all have taken this in September. So I think we've just got to, take a bit of perspective and move forward from it and go, okay, we've started well. Let's see how we can get better. We need to now get our forward players firing and get a consistent team back and get back to basics. But I think there's a lot more positives than negatives yesterday. And I think a lot of people are just focusing on negatives because they want to be negative. And what's the point in that? You know, we've had a good start. So at least try and be positive.
No, I agree with what you said. I said I left there a bit disappointed, obviously, because we were 1-0 up. Once you get 1-0 up in that heat, I think you then keep the ball a little bit better, which I don't think we did. Our crossing was horrendous yesterday. I don't know why we kept going long so much when the ref weren't giving any decisions against the fouling on Davison. It was very similar to that last year where Davison weren't getting free kicks. But yeah, it's totally different to last season for me. It's a totally different team. It's just, as I said earlier, we're missing 4 of our best players. And some of our players that have been on fire, like Johnson, I didn't think he was great yesterday. Tilly, I didn't think he had the best game. But you give them their due because they've been excellent for us and they're going to have bad games. And I think that was yesterday. And Stockport took advantage of it, really. So, Kevin, what did you want to say? And then I'll go to Jonathan and then Don Redhill.
Good evening, everyone. I hope we're all good. I think this was probably, when you look midweek, this was probably a result that was on the horizon. You saw this one as a sticky one with the, you know, the players we were missing. The selection, I mean, I went Tuesday night and Sutcliffe looked unreal Tuesday night. I can't, if you'd have been him, I'd have been quite disappointed looking at Pearce, knowing what he was going to do. You put the slowest man in the team in the hottest day of the season, like Mick said, 20 minutes, he looked fucked, didn't he? He looked like he was a big tug, just that, like, sort of lumbering around. So I think the team selection was wrong. Johnson looked like he was all over the place. He obviously missed Lewis, didn't really know what he was doing. So I thought we were poor at the back. For me, it's the whole home form. You know, we haven't won at home. You know, I think the last win was January or something at home. So it's something we've got to address. I don't think people are necessarily throwing their toys out of their pram. I think they're just seeing that it's not right. And there was, you know, other things. And like you say, we'll talk about tactics and subs and that later. But I think there was things that he did wrong as well that he could have changed and could have improved maybe in the starting lineup. Tilly's had a bad game, but in all fairness, every time he got the ball, they put three players around him. So yep. I think they've done their own work and they just marked him out of it. So which is fair play to him. So I think overall, it weren't a great performance, but yeah, we've got to do something to start winning at home, really, for me.
No, I agree with that, Kevin. I think that's one of the big things at the moment. Our home form is horrendous. I think it goes back to what, March last year? I think it was the last time we won at home, I think someone said. But yeah, it is bad. But as I said, we played a very good Stockport team yesterday. And I said, if you're having four of your best players out, four players that usually bang on playing bad, it is going to affect it. Jonathan, and then I'll come Dom Redhill, and then Sanch. We've got loads of people in speaking comments coming in, so we'll go for them best we can.
I love how many people are participating. So I'm not panicking. I mean, bad day at the office, it happens, but I do hope there are some things that we learned by this. I hope that you know, we're coming to the conclusion that Pell isn't a starter. I think the way that he was used at Sutton is perfect. Bring him in with, you know, with a little bit left, a different kind of player, different kind of look, and he can have an impact on the game. I think Pearce is got to be looked more as a you know, an emergency backup, and I think Sutcliffe should have started in front of him as well. And yeah, hindsight's 20/20, and I can see that. The other thing is I think where we really got beat was in midfield. And obviously with Little and Reeves out, that's going to hurt a lot. But I think that Ball and Lakin just didn't look good. And I hope that Morgan Williams maybe gets a start before we trot those guys back out there. And then maybe just finally to kind of hopefully seal the deal that this isn't just a repeat from last year and from previous mistakes. Jackson made a lot of subs. They had an impact on the game. They really play. I think if we had played as well in the last 15 minutes, you know, if we played that well during the whole game, it would have been a different result. And I think that even in a loss, we're seeing a team that is playing with intent, with passion and determination. And that's what wasn't happening in all of those games that we would concede leads and lose out on points once they were on the board.
No, agreed. There was one disappointment for me yesterday with the first half when Lee Brown makes a silly challenge. No need to foul the Geezer there. He's lost the ball. Geezer's not going to cause any issues where he was. I think it was Johnson was coming over. Lee Brown boots him and then puts himself on a booking in the first half. I would have took him off at halftime straight away. Even though Lee Brown had an okay game yesterday, you're on a booking in that heat. I thought that was one silly thing for me yesterday. Don Redhill, thanks very much for joining us. How are you? What did you want to say?
Hi, yeah. Well, just picking up on that comment on the Lee Brown, because I kind of felt that for the first goal, that actually Tilly should have taken out the the 25. He should have taken one for the team. Because, you know, we're exposed there. I kind of agree with the comments that, you know, pretty much already spoken. I kind of felt that Ryan Johnson, I saw a bit of criticism on social media, but I thought he had a reasonable game, a couple of mistakes. And I thought there was an element of Ugandia, who I know Mick has really talked up, and I've been really impressed with his improvement this season. Again, got a bit of blame for the second goal, which I thought was a little bit unfair. So generally, I felt positive about some of the performances. I love Jack Carey coming back. 20 minutes of him, really encouraging. So I think Johnny Jackson's probably this week got to learn a few lessons that, you know, some extra lessons that he got to learn.
No, I agree. And I disagree with you on Ogundeyi yesterday. I thought Ogundeyi was very, very poor. A couple of people around me were talking about how he can't cross a ball. He was really struggling to get decent balls into the box. But you give these players credit at the moment because they've got it in the bank. They have played well recently. And I think with everything that's involved with football, when you do well first few games, expectation gets raised. And I think that's what's happened with some of our players. The expectations raised. So when they have a bad game, like Johnson weren't as good as he's been because he's been first class. And he had a poor game yesterday, and probably on his standards, people didn't like to jump on it. But as I said, I think you're right there with regards to he had an okay game, but because he's been so good previously, everyone likes jumping it. Sanch, and then Mick Dawes back, hopefully. Sanch, what do you want to say, mate? Sanch? Hello, Sanch. Have you muted yourself?
Can you hear me now, mate?
Yes, mate. You muted yourself, yeah?
Sorry, mate. I'm a bit of a wally when it comes to IT.
No problem, mate. What did you want to say?
I thought all week, and I think you said it and others, I thought the best we were ever going to do was 1-1. If we finish anywhere near Stockport, we'd have had an amazing season. 1-0 yesterday flattered us a bit. They had a lot of the ball. As Redfield said, they were coming through the midfield. I thought we struggled a bit there. The biggest issue was Lewis. Without him in the back four, obviously he couldn't play. We just looked shaky. And when Pierce plays, as much of a war horse as he is, we have to play so deep because he's so slow, it puts us under pressure. But for me, the biggest thing was I still didn't think we were really going to score. You know, I know Davison got one. I don't know how it went in, but he doesn't do it for me. I know you thought Bugle didn't do well. I thought he'd come on and create havoc. You know, he's kicking people up in the air, doing what he does. But I just think we've got to start with Curry because Curry will get the ball down and run. And maybe if Nurfield was picked over Sasu, it will give Nurfield a bit more of a game because I just think he looks slightly out of sorts at times. But I thought 1-0 we'd have done really well, but Stockport with a better team. And let's hope Ali comes back and he's on fire because we definitely need some goals.
Before I go to Mick, and then we've got Rob Moore just joined us. Before I go to Mick, I was going to ask the people listening, we're talking about mistakes. Do we think that Craig Cope's made his first mistake by getting Lemon Evans in when I don't think he's needed because we've got Tilly, Nurfield, McLean and Sasu instead of getting a striker? Because yesterday it was evident to me that Bugle, Davison and Pell are not going to score loads of goals. So if we lose Ali for a long period, injury, which could happen, we saw it last year, or suspension, or if I think he's going to the Asia Cup in December, January time. I think he goes somewhere, I'm sure. But if we lose him for a long term, we're not scoring goals. 100% what you just said, Sanch. So I think that's one mistake that maybe Craig Cope has made, is that we didn't go get a striker in the window and we brought in Evans. I know people said he can go in that Pell role, but we needed a striker yesterday who's going to score goals. Mick, you've come back on, and then what did you want to say? And then I'll go to Rob Moore.
Yeah, just quickly picking on a couple of points there, Lee. The one about with Lee Brown and the daft foul. In all honesty, I mean, I think it's pretty much everyone thinks that Till should have had the fella over in the centre circle, given there was no covering central midfielders. And I mean, I think he probably knows that himself now, in all honesty. But he didn't, so they got the goal. It didn't help that the guy was an Olympic sprinter as well. He couldn't catch him. But that's just the way it goes. But so Brown did have the lad over. So I think we can't have it both ways. We can't say about Tilly, he should have played the fella, and then Brown didn't, and criticise Brown. I mean, to me, it was a sensible foul by Lee. I think he took the booking, right thing to do. And on Ogundeyi as well, I have bigged him up. I didn't think he was quite at the level yesterday, but he is playing against Louis Barry. I mean, a guy's been on to me today, just earlier on, saying that an Aston Villa fan, saying that he thinks he could do a job at Villa, which is obviously nonsense. Of course he couldn't. But I mean, he's a good League Two player, a top level League Two player. And I think in the main, Ogundeyi did pretty well against him, actually. And then, you know, on the occasions that he backed him up and went forward, yeah, some of his deliveries weren't great. But we are talking about a lad here who's probably played less than 20 first-team games. So you are going to have these little dips. He's going to be a good player, and he is a good player. The one area I would probably agree with people where they're criticising the manager a little bit is in the selection of Pierce over Sutcliffe. I think for certain, if you were going to play Pierce today, he shouldn't have played in the game in midweek, because we know he can't really play two games in 5 days. So I just can't see the logic in that at all, playing him in midweek in the Papa John's thing and then playing him again on, because he looked knackered before he even started, the poor fella. I mean, he's knocking on a bit, so that didn't make any sense to me. That's the thing I wanted to say, Lee.
I agree with you on a few points, and I disagree on you with one. With Pierce, I totally agree. He should never have been near the team on Tuesday. I think Danny said it on the podcast. He don't want to see him. Should be nowhere near it. Because, yeah, he can't play three games in a week. Do you know what I mean? Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. Just can't do it. And we also knew what the weather was going to do. The weather was predicted that it was going to be really, really hot. So, yeah, that's mad for me. The only good thing, as I said, with Pierce playing, and he didn't play terribly, he just says, as Sanchez, we do go further back when he plays because he is slow. He is getting on, and that some would have killed him, is that Sutcliffe come on and played so well when he came on. I thought he was excellent when he came on. So we now know that he can come on and play in big games, because Stockport are a bit of a bully team, and maybe Jackson thought, wait a minute, I don't want him to get bullied out of the game and it knock him. And Pierce is one of them players that plays in game. On the Lee Brown thing, I totally disagree with you, Mick. I think it was two different tackles. The one that Lee Brown made, he lost the ball on the left side, right near the touchline. We had cover there to get back and thing. He didn't need to make that and get booked so early in the game. And then, as I said, you've got the one with Tills. Tills is on the halfway line, should be able to read the game better and take him down. But I get your point. So, Rob, you've come on and wanted something to say. What did you want to say now? I'll go to Kev, who's got his hand.
Yeah, hi there. Yeah, always, first off, I'd just like to say Sutcliffe. Wow, what a player we got there. He was brilliant going forward, and at times I just he had a bit of Joe Lewis about him in that style, where he took the ball on and just brought it forward that one time. So yeah, what a find. But so yeah, I agree with everyone. Like, you know, he should have probably started, but then from a JJ perspective, you know, he hasn't really played him before, so I can understand why he played Pierce. But the second goal, Oggs didn't cut out of the cross. But for me, Jono just wasn't tight on that defender. And, you know, he obviously got on the end of it. But the bigger issue from just watching the whole game was we just lost the midfield. And without Reeves and Little as well, we're just a completely different team. So that's my worry, along with, like everyone else said, about the striker situation. Josh runs his heart out for the team, but you know, I know he got a goal yesterday, but he's just not as threatening as Ali. He just doesn't have that nous about him. I'm just not sure that he can cut it. Omar's brilliant. I mean, he ran and ragged as soon as he come on, which, you know, I think most of us know he would do, but he's just not got the goals in him, has he? So that's, you know, that's sort of my worry there. But yeah, I suppose we, you know, sooner or later we're going to lose one. But and also, I just don't know if everyone else sort of feels the same, but have we almost built up the team? We've got sort of, you know, overexcited, you know, which, you know, I suppose is good. We've had a few rough seasons of it, but just the whole where we've just got so excited about this team and suddenly we've lost the game and now we've gone too negative, you know, where it's having that sort of balance, you know. Yeah, we've got a good team here. We've got a good squad. Let's see, you know, see how we are after about 10, 15 games or so.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that's football fans for you, though. As I said earlier, if you win a couple of games so early on like we have, and we beat Sutton and stuff, and we battered other teams, and yeah, expectations go up, and everyone starts with Reeves and Little in this team. Though I think we could possibly push in on the playoffs.
Yeah,
it just shows us. It shows us without. If we lose two of our best players, then we are going to be a mid-table team, which I think most fans need to get behind, because you've got to look at the team yesterday and think, well, actually, we had Morgan Williams and Sasu, who I wanted to keep in this team. People were saying, send him on loan. I never said that once. Right. And people, you mean they're now getting in the team. I think they should be maybe starting some games. But yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying there. And I think people just need to sit back a little bit and maybe enjoy it a little bit more. But we'll come on to say, we'll come on to some comments in a minute because someone's made a good comment I want to get through.
I'm surprised he didn't start Williams yesterday. Does anyone else feel that? I thought we could have showed him a bit of faith.
I can't, the problem is he's a young kid. You don't want to break him down either. So we got to remember how old Morgan Williams is. I think, what is he, 17, 18? Yeah. Might be 1 year older, but he ain't in his 20s yet. This is his first season. He only went on loan at Eastbourne and only played, I think, a few, 3 months for them. And he went to, who was it, Corinthian Casuals. So I think we've got to be easy with him. We can't, he is that good, but we can't just keep throwing him in. Stockport, we've got to remember they are a good side. They bully teams. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think Lakin's Football League experience probably gets him above it. I think Ball's that one's going to win the game. Morgan Williams showed why he should be maybe starting games. And that's what you've got to do.
Ball was playing really deep, wasn't he? You just dropping back. I don't know if that's just because the defence was so deep as well. And he had to come back to, you know, get the ball. And we just seem, there seemed to be just, we were wide open in the middle of the park, I thought, at times. You know, between midfield and strikers.
No, yeah, no, great. So what we do, we'll go to Kevin now, and then we'll go to George, who had his hand up a minute ago. So, Kev, what did you want to say?
I think to answer your question about Cope and the striker, yes, I think he has missed the trick because we basically, Pell's not a striker, and they're not in any kind of universe. How he starts over Omar yesterday is I'd like him to explain that one. You can only think that Omar wasn't fully fit, but even a part fit Omar would have been well above Pell. So for me, yes, I think we've missed the trick. We needed a striker because basically we've got three strikers and two of them don't score goals, and we accept that. So, and like you say, if Ali gets crocked, then we're in the same boat that we've been for the last few years. So, I think we have missed a trick. As far as not playing the youngsters, do you know what? Sutcliffe was, like I said, he was amazing at Tuesday night, I didn't think they really bullied us yesterday, And I think I'd have been half tempted to put him in. The same with Williams as well. That, you know, I'd agree with the last speaker. The midfield was absolutely devoid yesterday. I mean, it was just clueless. There was no trying to find balls. And I think that's why we ended up just aimlessly lumping. As soon as Williams come on, you could see he wanted to get on the ball, he wanted to try and find a pass. If he's young enough, put him in, give him a go. You know, I think a lot of people would sooner see our own have a go. They make a fuck up, well, so what, you know, we'll go with it. But, you know, I'd much sooner see him over, you know, Ball or that.
No, I agree. And I think your point regarding the Stockport bullying us yesterday, I don't think they did, because obviously the weather is going to play a massive part in the game yesterday. But Stockport are known for bullying teams with the players they had before. They bullied us previously years. And I just think maybe we looked at it and thought, well, they could do that. And Sutcliffe, as I said, he was brilliant against Stevenage. But remember, that was, I know Stevenage played a strong team on Tuesday.
But Stevenage had a strong team Tuesday night, mate. I'll tell you what. And he did not win the header.
Kevin, I totally agree with you. But you also got to remember that Steve Evans came out and said he was well disappointed with the team that he put out because some people have missed their opportunity. Do you know what I mean? And that's they're top of the league above us. But that they're not players that are starting games for him. That was a strong team for him and he played brilliant. But you got to remember it is the trophy. It ain't a massive game. But he came on, as I said, I thought he was excellent when he came on. He's gone, Johnny Jackson, I'm here now. If you Pierce ain't playing or Lewis and Johnson ain't playing, I want to play. And that's all they can do. That's all, Morgan Williams, I think you're right. He come on and said, you should have started me. And that's all the players can do nowadays. And I think it's going to be good going forward. But we are really, that spine, we really need back. And that is a worry going forward.
Any team you take Reeves and Little out of any team, and they're going to be considerably weaker. There's no doubt about that.
And we've lost both of them. I think if Reeves was in there with Ball or Reeves was in there with Williams, Reeves was in there with Lakin, fine. Little and Ball, I totally agree. We lost both of them at the same time, which is just our Wimbledon's luck on injuries. So, George, what did you want to say, mate?
I think, firstly, I get when people say Davison isn't as threatening as Ali, but you're comparing Davison against Ali, who's a 1.1 million pound striker. Davison scored 9 and 37 last year. That's not me saying he's a great player. That's not goal return in a poor. Not better on our budget. Okay, Stockport probably have been better, but if you look, we got PK who's about a week away supposedly. He'll then come back match fit. Then you've got Pierce. You've got four decent centre backs there. Suttercliffe could do with 3 months just till Christmas out. So I think we don't want overhyped. We want him to learn the game, especially centre back. You know, we've seen the benefit of having experienced centre backs in Johnson and Lewis. So I think that needs to be done. And then after that, Morgan Williams had, to be fair, played all the minutes since Chelsea. He played 90 minutes against Stevenage, 90 minutes Newport, 90 minutes Chelsea. I think JJ is probably worried about fucking another midfielder, basically just doing him over with minutes. So I see why Morgan played him, would be throwing him in at the deep end.
We got a bit of that, George. You kept breaking up, so I'm not sure if it's a Wi-Fi issue your end. But yeah, a couple of people said they lost you there. So no, I kind of agree with what you're saying regarding Sutcliffe. I don't like sending our loan players, our young players on loan. I would, you know what I mean? I've said before we keep them all. But yeah, Sutcliffe, I don't know if it would be worth him going on loan, or is it worth him staying and learning from Lewis and Johnson and being on the bench? Because I'd rather have him than Pierce. I know what you're saying about PK coming back, but PK hasn't had any football for ages now. And will he come back at the same player? Probably, but would it be worth sending maybe PK on loan to a conference team to get his fitness and his game sharpness back up? So someone asked a question. Well, I'm going to go back because we haven't mentioned the comments. So there was a piece in the Mirror by Jonesy and Chris Stewart, and it was, the headline was, "When we lose, it's like, oh well, shall we have a beer?" And some people have jumped on this, as like Wimbledon fans do, and I can see why fans have jumped on it and why fans are unhappy with the comment, or do you know what I mean? But I can also see what Jonesy's saying, because we are, it does, football's, everyone wants to win games and stuff, but we are, I go there to see my mates, have a beer with my mates, and if we lose and win, do you know what I mean? I get the comments. Has anyone else been as riled up as some Wimbledon fans regarding the comment? Because I've seen one thing, it said it's loser mentality, which I can kind of see that point of view as well, because we're not in the Combine Counties anymore. We're not in the Ryman League. We're playing professional League Two football where we should be winning games, and people, the last 2 years have been so bad, but maybe that article has come out at the wrong time, maybe. What are people's thoughts on it? That's what, who is it, wanted to know? Sorry, Adam Mercer has asked a question. Yes, Mick. And then we go, George.
Yeah, I think in fairness, mate, if Jonesy and people like that who bloody started the club, they're entitled to think whatever they like, really. I mean, you can't knock them lads, can you? Without them, we wouldn't have nowhere to go, would we? So, I mean, I can't, in all honesty, I don't really see it that way, that I don't care if we win or lose. I mean, that's kind of already. But, Everyone's got their own motivation, haven't they, when they don't watch the football. I've got to be honest with you, I love football, so I enjoyed yesterday. I thought it was a good game, and you mentioned it earlier, Lee, in the conditions, in the heat. I thought both teams deserved a huge amount of credit, and in a way, I enjoyed watching Stockport. I thought they were a good team, they moved the ball about well, and they were quite fluid and stuff. But I thought we gave them a really good go, you know, and it's not like last season. I just can't see that, and every week that I go to football at Plough Lane, and that, I'm thankful for people like Jonesy and the gang of four, Ivor and the other lads that got it going again, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have a ground, would we? So I know there's millions of other people that then jumped on and helped as well. But bandwagon jumpers like me ought to thank all these people on a regular basis, I think.
I kind of agree with that. I just think there's so many people that could be, do you know what I mean? I think it's sometimes there's certain people that get thanked more than other people, and I don't think we should be thanking anyone, really, because we all do our bit by going to games. I just, as I said, the comment didn't really bother me. It's, do you know what I mean? There's much more to be complaining about. If we lost yesterday, I came home with my boy, we were quite happy. Not that we lost, but the fact that we're playing better football and there's better players in our team this year than there was last year. But in 4 weeks' time, when we've lost a crew, we've lost a Walsall, that could be a different matter, and that's football, I find. George, what did you want to say regarding it? George? Hello, George. George's not there. Jonathan, I'll come to you, and then hopefully George will be back in a minute.
The comment didn't bother me at all, but I can certainly see how it could. I mean, you know, all of us who've been through the last five seasons or so, you never want to see anybody being okay with a loss. But, you know, getting angry about losses did not help us any of the previous years either. You know, I think it has more to do with how we react to how the team reacts to the loss and what changes are made, what strategies change, maybe what form changes. I can see how it would piss some people off, but it wasn't me. I'm, you know, and this is one of those games where if we win against Crew, if we win 3-0 against Crew, no one's going to look back on this game and be wringing their hands anymore. But if we lose that one and the next one, then it's going to be a problem. So I don't think one result is ever going to change my opinion. It's going to be more about what happens after this and how do we move forward.
I agree with that, Jonathan. George, are you back with us? Hello, George. George, are you there? George, right, I have to wait, George. Tim, you've come on. What did you want to say?
Yeah, hi, Lee. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Danny Macklin. What's going on? I mean, if you take this at face value, apparently he's left to spend more time with his family. Yet comments have been blocked, social media posts being removed. You know, we're supposed to believe this, but you know, clearly something's gone on. So I just wondered if you could shed any more light on what's happened.
I can't shed any facts on the matter at the moment because all it is at the moment is rumours of what has gone on. I think the statement that the club put out regarding Macklin leaving speaks for itself. A lot of us are not buying the story that he's left for his family or he's left because of the commuting or he wanted some time off. I think you're right there. But yeah, I think Michelle put on Probables the other day that another statement was going to be made by the club. And hopefully that will be the case shortly. I know some stuff has gone on pro boards. I think Chris has gone on there and changed or not deleted messages or deleted threads, but he's put them all in one or something. I just, the politics of the club at the moment really wind me up. And I've said it before. There's so many people within the club that maybe shouldn't be doing stuff or being involved because they're there for their own personal reasons and their own self-indulgence. But I've been saying it for years that the swamp needs to be emptied, but it never gets emptied and we end up losing maybe good people or maybe Danny Macklin wasn't that good. But yeah, I just can't really say too much on it, Tim.
But I get the sense that you know something, but you're supposed to be the unofficial podcast and, you know, maybe he doesn't toe the party line. So I think information's being withheld by people that I think people know what's happened, but they're not.
The problem we have, Tim, is that we can only go on rumours and rumours are no good. I have no facts to give you. So I'm not going to spread rumours around regarding Danny Macklin's dismissal because there's about four or five different rumours. So we are the unofficial podcast. I think most people know that he hasn't possibly left on his own accord, but we have to wait for the club to hopefully tell the fans. There are HR issues. There are club issues that we have to abide by regards to law and stuff. So hopefully, I think, as Danny said on the podcast the other day, I think it will all come out in the wash. Mm-hmm. There will be some people that will be very upset. And I think there will be things that will literally, it'll be, what's it called, paper, fish paper. But Danny Macklin's now left. What I'm more annoyed about is the club haven't told us what the plan B is now. True. Because we haven't got an MD. Yesterday was ridiculous for some of the things I saw getting into the ground. Some people had no issues, but I saw a kid crying his eyes out because the stewards would not let him in with his Pokemon bottle. I saw there was a family behind me arguing with the two stewards straight after that because they said that they couldn't. Their kids of 4 and 7 could not bring their water bottles in. There was two people literally in front of us just before they told the kid with the Pokemon bottle he couldn't come in, had to pour their water away if they wanted to bring their water bottles in. There's massive issues, but Danny Macklin, I don't think, sorted them issues out in the first place. He used to complain to him and he did nothing about it anyway. Apparently, it's an EFL decision, the bottle tops and stuff like that of the EFL. But yeah, hopefully everything regarding Danny Macklin will come out in the wash. But yeah, we just have to wait and see if the club are going to...
Why are we the only club, Lee, that can't get that right stuff? I mean, every time you go to an away game, all the stewards everywhere, with the possible exception of Harrogate, are lovely, you know, and they're sensible. And they're... Why are we the only club that can't get this nonsense right?
I'd love to know. I literally was having an argument with the two stewards yesterday. Two young lads on the middle section of the stand going in. I said, why are you taking a kid? He must have been 5 years old, this kid, crying his eyes out of his dad. His dad said, what do I do? How can I go about complaining about this, because this is ridiculous. They just sent him to the reception. I think Mandy had to deal with a couple other people yesterday as well. The stewards are saying it's an EFL rule, but what I don't like is the stewards are bowling around with their own water bottles. You go into the main stand, there's people getting water bottles in there. Some people said they've got 2 litre water bottles. I don't know how this... And as I said, Mick, I've complained to Danny a number of times regarding this, about getting waters in. It was 30 degrees yesterday, possibly hotter than that. It's a safety issue that people should be allowed to bring water into a ground. Yeah. But taking it off young kids, what are they going to do? Are they really going to throw that water bottle? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be put in their mum and dad's bag. They're going to bring it out. And this is all because one stupid idiot apparently threw a drink at a player. And if we do it again, we're going to get fined. But go on then, Don Riddle. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, can I come in here? Because I posted something on Pro Boards earlier today. Because I go with my wife and my son, who's 12. And, you know, we were confused by the Bottlegate scandal, as I called it. And we emailed in to the club. And for the Forest Green Rovers game, we got invited in by... head of security to just have a meeting with him. And we met with, I can't remember his name now, I always forget his name, the head of security and the police liaison officer. And I posted it on the Pro Boards. It was a really good experience. They explained their position. And I totally agree with the point about, I saw the point about the, you know, the Pokemon bottle yesterday, and that's clearly ridiculous. But it's kind of, I don't know, I'm exasperated by an element of our fan base taking on, I saw on social media today a thread that said exasperation on the young child issue. And then on the back of that, it was like someone making a point, constructive point, but in the end of there, I kind of feel like it was not quite right about the ticket checking, okay, at half time. And I question some of the negativity currently existing around our fan base, and it exasperates me. And coming back to the Danny Macklin situation, yesterday I went up to the Dons Trust board and I expressed my frustration and disappointment in the statements that the club had put out regarding Danny's departure. And I had a great conversation with Michelle and Richard, yep, on the board. And it was just sometimes, as a fan engaging with the people who you may not necessarily agree with, can be a positive step. And I still remain, you know, completely disappointed for the fact that Macklin's gone. It kind of feels like it's created a kind of barrier for the club to move forward. And I'm kind of waiting on now. My perception is that the onus is on now Mick Buckley to come out quite early this week and issue some kind of statement about the continuity, you know, the plan B, whatever that has to take place.
Yeah, Dominic, I totally agree with what you're saying in regards to that. I think the problem I've got with it is the club always shoots itself in the foot. We have started so well on the pitch. There seems a little bit of enthusiasm, excitement, the attitude or the, what's it called? I can't remember. But we seem in a better place than we were last season, yeah, at the start of the season. And then something like this happens and it just, yep, goes boom, straight. And I get your point regarding negativity. People say that I'm one of the biggest moaners and love to moan. Problem is, if I see something that isn't right, I'm going to raise it straight away. And that's, as I said, I raised it yesterday. I tried to raise it with who you raise it with, but I don't know if that's the right place to go. I messaged the... I've tagged in the AFC supporters liaison officers. Haven't had anything back regarding that. I don't know if that's the right line. I think you have to email them. But not letting in kids have water bottles is just crazy. And I think, yeah, right, some people have...
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That was just...
The problem, yeah, I've got is the club comms. The club comms, yeah, has led to the rumours, led, yeah, to the conspiracy theories of why Dane Macklin's left. And I heard 5 or 6 rumours yesterday regarding why he had left. And I just thought they didn't need to do that. Do you know what I mean? They sent the statement they originally sent and then turned off all comments. Most of the comments, like the quote tweets, because you can still quote tweet, well, we wish you all well, Danny. And then Danny sent out his own thing and there was loads of good comments in it. I think that's what would have happened. There would have been a few negative comments, but you're going to get that everywhere. This is football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not one person would have gone home over 100% happy yesterday, but it's how you deal with that and how you express that. And I think we've got to realise that it's not all going to be rosy in the Wimbledon Garden sometimes. And people, like the last 2 years, have been a lot of complaining. This year, I just don't think like pro boards at the moment is an absolute joke for me. I think it's ridiculous how that's been dealt with. Chris Stewart's gone on there and changed a load of stuff. I don't know if that's, I just get sick of it because I don't know if it's right or wrong. And I see, yeah, a lot of comments and it's just like, I'm just bored of it. I'd rather have an owner in there now who owns the club and runs the club for us. And then we can bitch and moan about him, he or her. They can have thick skin, get on with it. Because at the moment, it just feels like that's the way it's being done anyway. But sorry, Don Reddy, we've got to go to Kevin and then George. Kevin, what did you want to say, mate?
I think, my problem with the trust, and I've given up with them. It's all political. I'm just not interested. What you said about, you know, I'm interested in the players getting 3 points on Saturday, and that's it. The rest of it can, yeah, go and do whatever they want. But as far as I can see, and I've not seen anything, there's been no comms from the trust at all. Yeah, on this matter. Yeah, I don't know whether anybody else has seen anything. Yeah. We shouldn't need to go up and speak to them. There should have been some kind of comms from the trust to say X, Y, Z. You know, it's just been that one statement from the club and nothing else.
I agree. And I think what hasn't helped again the situation is that all the club staff or volunteers or anyone involved with the club have been told to keep their mouth shut. And that then again leads to everything else. And that's red flags. And I think people work it out for itself. If people that work with Danny Macklin and were close to Danny Macklin and not even wished him well, just raise his issue straight away. The alarm bells are going, thinking, well, wait a minute. Why is A and B not wished the guy well? And that's what I mean. I was speaking to people on Saturday again. It's really weird that certain people at the club haven't wished him well for his journey going ahead if he was leaving because he was sick or he's leaving because of his family life. Do you know what I mean? And it just then leads to more rumours, more conspiracy, yeah, theories at a time, yeah, when we don't really need it. And, yeah, if he has messed up and he has gone for that reason, then the club needs to, or if they can say something, say it. We move on. Good luck in the future, Danny Macklin. You're not part of the club anymore. Do you know what I mean? Good luck wherever you go next. And we move on and we start winning games, hopefully some home games. And people think, I think Mick said it the other day. Do you know what I mean? There's no one bigger than the club. And that's, do you know what I mean? Like, this is why some of the stuff about the four people that formed the club, there's thousands of us that do this club and every day and in different ways. And it would always be here now. What we've built as a foundation needs to be bigger than everything else. And yeah, it does my head in a little bit, but it is what it is. George, what did you want to say, mate?
Can you hear me better now? Is that better?
Yes, mate. You've got off dial up, yeah?
Yeah, sorry about that. I think part of it as well, at the same time, we've got to realise we are professional business now. We can't know every single detail. Mm-hmm, yeah. I think quite a few fans get hung up on the fact that, oh, I made this club. Yeah, you did, but that was 20-odd years ago when we were playing in the Combined Counties League. We're now elite. We're now a professional football club. It's a whole different ball game, and I think some fans get a bit stuck up wanting to know every detail because, you know, I'm a bench holder, I'm a season ticket holder. At the end of the day, you're a football fan, all right? They're going to tell you about the transfers. If we announce a contract extension, they don't have to tell you every single detail. Just because we're fan-owned doesn't mean we're not a business. And I think a lot of fans have a bit of a rod up our arse because we are fan-owned. And it's the same people who are like, I think the same division comes with the comment about what was the comment exactly? It was something like, "Oh, we'll have a beer if we lose." Well, the section of the fan base that maybe a bit more and not anti fan ownership, but more pro investment as such, a bit more like, "Well, hang on, that's not right." So, I think both sides of the argument need to realise that, okay, we are a different football club because we are fan owned, but at the end of the day, we are still a football club and we're a business. So, getting hung up about why Danny Macklin's left, why? Just because we're fan owned, we don't need to know every detail. Unfortunately, we're a business, we're a professional business. If the CEO of Shell leaves, they're not going to put in a massive statement about why, and that's life. I think we're just a little bit too hung up on our own self-importance sometimes, and I know people are going to get pissed off at that and say, "Well, I've supported this club for 60 years, blah blah blah." Okay, but you're a football fan at the end of the day. Like, know your lane as such. And I'm not trying to offend anyone here, by the way. I know we're all big Wimbledon fans, but at the end of the day, you're just a fan.
Again, I'm totally agreeing with what you're saying there, George. I think you're totally right. I think some people, you're right, they're up their own arse regarding the fan ownership stuff because they pay 25 quid a year. They think they should know every detail. It's like when we have fees going for a player and it's undisclosed. They're like, "Why are we not knowing how much we're getting?" Well, you will if you read the accounts, because it's going to be in there anyway, and we get them as fans. I think sometimes, as I said to Tim earlier when he was asking me what happened, we have to abide by law, we have to abide by HR issues, and the club may be doing that. As I said, I don't think the comms has helped the situation at all, and that's something that really needs to be looked at. But we've been saying that for many, many years. And as I said earlier, there's no difference in having an owner at the moment, because the fan stuff is right. And I think the thing with the article that kind of annoyed a few people is the timing of it, really. Like Chris Stewart being part, I've not really read it myself, I've just seen the tagline, and I've been quite busy today. But yeah, that Chris Stewart's involved in it, but Chris Stewart's the chair of the Don's Trust, and he hasn't made a statement regarding Danny Macklin leaving, or the Don's Trust haven't. But then we get this article from the Mirror. That might be because the Mirror have put it out or stuff, but it just seems like that's a bit of a ploy to kind of get us away from certain things that are going on at the club that they don't want us to worry about or stress about too much. But yeah, it's mad, all the politics at football. I'd rather do without it, to be fair. I just want to go and watch a game on a Saturday and watch the boys win.
But Lee, do you not think that sums up the whole attitude at the club? You've got half of the fan base who, I mean, I'd say I'm on the side, you know, for me, all that matters is how we perform on a Saturday or Tuesday. Yep. That's for me, that's all I care about. I personally don't watch women's football. I don't, you know, I don't really care about anything else apart from the first team on a Saturday or a Tuesday. That for me is, the Don's Trust politics is irrelevant. Anything like that is irrelevant to me. Whereas you've got the other side of the fan base who maybe don't see the football as important, and they want the politics of the club. And both sides love the club, but I think that divide is sort of sums up every issue. You've got people that are really get into issues like Flaggate and that lot, and are like, "How dare you? I'm a fan." And you've got the other side who may be a bit more relaxed about it, but then they, do you know what I mean? It seems like a fight when it's not. They're just, everyone wants the best for the club, but
yes,
it sort of comes across differently. And again, we've always said this, we'll get to a crossroad eventually where we'll have to make a decision. But I think a lot of these debates we have are basically summarized by what side of the fence you sit on with investment, I think, in my opinion.
Thing is, I would say I'm an older fan. I was there when the decision got made to move Wimbledon to Milton Keynes and stuff like that. And I was there at the headquarters of the FA when we all went down there to protest against it and stuff like that. And I can see both sides of the argument, right? So I can see your argument. I can see the older side, because the older side, we never kind of want to go through that again. We don't want you lot to go through that again, kind of thing. But I'm also for outside investment. I'd rather sell the club. I'd rather not be fan owned. I don't like fan ownership, because there are so many people that are so far up their own arses with it. And as I said, they're so scared of losing a little bit of power. They're so scared of losing the job that they do, because it's maybe all they have in their life. But there could be someone that does the job better and could raise the game for us, that we're missing out on that kind of skill and stuff like that. And that's my only issue with fan ownership. And I've seen it firsthand, and it does really annoy me. But I just, yeah, I think I can understand where what you would call the older heads, the bigger heads are coming from, because it was so heartbreaking to kind of lose a club. And we've built it as a fan base, every single fan who's ever come to a game or put money in, your people like Jonathan, who jumped on board as well with it from the States, people like Mick, who now just throws himself at it. His scores are off the scale sometimes, but he loves the club as much as the next person. I think we need to take that get that and use that energy of everyone more so than keep tit for tat and fighting all the time. But it is what it is sometimes. Jonathan, what did you want to say?
George, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's as easy as saying there's A and B, because there's tons of fans. Like, my number one priority is what happens on Tuesdays and Saturdays, without a doubt. But I also want a team that's fan-owned. I don't want a team that's fan-run. And I think that might be a bigger problem, is that there's some people who think that fan ownership means fan-run, and I don't want that. I do want professionals brought in. And part of bringing professionals in is sometimes they leave, and sometimes they're fired, or sometimes it's just not working out, and they agree to part ways, and we're not going to know all the details of that. But I don't think it's just as easy as saying that, are you A or B? Because I think there's a ton of us that are in the middle there somewhere, and I think that oversimplifies it a little bit. But I do think that there's definitely a problem with some people who get their nose out of joint about any little thing that happens with the club, and they're more concerned with that than they are with the football. And I am definitely more interested in the football, but I still want to be part of a club that's fan-owned, and I still do the story and how we got to where we are is still very important to me. It's not more important than putting a good team on the pitch, winning some games, playing the kind of football that we can be proud of. You know, for me, enjoying a really good, you know, few cups of coffee on a Saturday morning, because that's what time it is when I watch. But I think I get your point, but that might oversimplify it a little bit, because I do think there's a lot of us in between.
No, I think you're right, John. And it's so hard because everyone, again, it's just one of the things. I think football, and this is why for me, at being fan owned or being owned by an owner, it's just a discussion. I said it's mad. We're having a right good discussion about football and didn't even get onto tactics and things. And then Tim comes off and throws in a grenade and everyone kind of just goes mental. So we're not going to be able to get onto the chat because I have to finish soon. So unfortunately, we can't do that. Does anyone want to say anything before we kind of wrap it up and go? I've not been able to get through all the comments. I do appreciate people sending the comments. Does anyone want to say something before we go regarding the issues at the club or the game yesterday still?
If we lose to Crewe, it isn't the end of the world. The season's 46 games. So can we not throw toys out the pram just yet?
Oh, I kind of disagree with you there, George. I think if we lose the Crewe, it ain't actually a great start to the season. We would have only won two games.
Yeah, it's a start though, Lee, isn't it? It's about having the building block to then go on from there. If you look a lot of teams were who were in the playoffs in the hunt, they didn't start too well last year. Besides, obviously, Orient, they won it from day one. But
that's why the Crewe game, the Crewe game is so important, because it's like, if we get a result against Crewe, it looks like a good start. If we get beat by a Crewe, it looks like a really not that good a start. This one game is the most important game of the season so far. It's a really, really huge game on Saturday.
George, do you want
to? I can't tell if that's sarcasm or not. I actually can't. But I think we've just got to understand that performance is more important at this point. And again, we keep building. And without, you know, we still won't probably have our two best central midfielders. So, you know, take things into context and don't start booing at full time if we do lose. I just think, you know, we've had a good month. Let's try and actually create some momentum. But yeah,
can I come in quickly, Lee?
Quickly, Kev, because Sanch wants to say something. I've got to kind of wrap it up. But sorry, Kev, before you go, George, if we lose on Saturday, I'm throwing my season ticket. Right, go on, Kev.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think Saturday's absolutely mammoth. As for booing, don't think anybody's been booing at all at the moment, have they? You know, if we win, we've had a good start. If we lose, then it does look a lot like last year, heading this way again. So I think it's really important Saturday.
No, I agree. Sanch, what did you want to say? And then, Matt, you've come in last minute. I'll give you Sanch, and then I'll quickly give you...
Yeah, just like Kevin and Mick said, Lee, but we've got to win more at home. It's really big. We're fourth from bottom in the table for home wins. We're second from top for away wins. So if we start winning at home, we'll be doing all right.
No, I agree. I think it is a big game. Matt, what did you want to say? You have the floor quickly.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Sorry, Don Reddell.
No worries. Yeah, I know it's only 1 minute to go, but yeah, just a very, very quick one. I was just going to say, like this time last season, we were having literally identical chats praising players like NYC and Asau, you know, as the equivalents to what Tilly is now. September was where the wheels started falling off last season. We had 1 point in 4 games, I think it was, or maybe even 5 games. you know, we're at that stage this season already. We've got 1 point in September from the win last week, from the draw at Newport. We could lose the next three games and literally be in the identical position to where we were last season.
Kind of see what you're saying. I think this is a much better team than that we had last year, even with us out. NYC, I saw your message earlier. I was going to bring it up, but we had that. We had a bomb thrown into the chat. I disagree about NYC and Tilly. I think Tilly is in a much better form than NYC. And you also got me. NYC got injured and was quite injury prone. I think this year we've got better loans in. We've got players in who actually know the division. And I think, again, it's injuries that have killed us again, which maybe need to be looked at. But we get our four players back, then I think we're going to be flying. I know what people say about Reeves and Little coming back. My worry is if they are out longer term. I wish the club would actually be honest with us. That's where I think the fan-owned stuff for me, we need to be told when our captain, no one knows how long he's out for, what injuries he's got. Do you know what I mean? I think we need to be known that information because it does help. You know what I mean? When you go into a game and think, right, Reeves is back this week. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Or he's going to be out for 2 months. Right, Ball, them, they've got to step up and we know how we can deal with them instead of saying, oh, Ball, he's useless. Do you know what I mean? Well, he's going to be part of the plans now for the next 3 months. Not saying Ball is useless, by the way, if people want to jump on that. But yeah, we need to hopefully get behind the team. And I don't think people will boo. I think that was just a comment from George that probably last year we probably would have been booing it this time. But I agree. I think Saturday is a big game. Crew had a great result the weekend. And yeah, hopefully we can get 3 points. But again, thanks to everyone for taking part again tonight. It's been quite a lively chat. Thanks to everyone for listening, taking the time to listen on a Sunday evening. We are going to end it now. We are back with another podcast on Friday. Me and Danny will be back. Thanks again. This is the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, the Wombs Had a Dream. Good night.